Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the 10th of February, 2026. And, it's that time of the early morning that we discuss, economic, business affairs and everything that affect our bread and butter. And this is a platform that we encourage constructive criticism. It's a platform that we embark into critical conversations and conversations that matter. That's why we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. Where are you? Where are you doing? What are you doing? Who are you with? And also, what is for the morning and what is for the day? What is your daily strategic plan? Wake up and focus on the game. And as it has always been, especially and in the morning, we like boosting your morning before we get into the conversation to say, you know, life is a choices, it's a series of choices, and it's a greatest philosopher and emperor of Rome at one point indicated that you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength. So what you have power over is your mind, and most of the things that we suffer from are the things that in our mind. And when you have power and control over your mind, then outside events will not do anything. The same to say, there is no enemy that can destroy you from outside if there is no enemy within. Most of the time, it's our thinking that we need to get right. It's our mind that we need to get right so that we can focus on a very important aspect of life and also a very important, you know, aspect of development and also aspect of coherent, understandable, respectful, and advanced society. That is why when we are fighting for economic emancipation, one of the center of fighting for economic emancipation is fighting against ignorance, fighting against, illiteracy, particularly economic illiterate, so that we'll be able to bring about real conversation, because once the mind is free, then other things will be able to follow. That's why the thinkers and scholars of decoloniality of mind, or the decoloniality of Africa, they are saying to say, even if the colonizers are no more here, there is still legacy of colonialism that is embedded in our mind. That is why once you decolonize the mind, then you open your mind and also see that, you know, some of these things were not right. Some of the things that you have accepted are not right. So when you have control over your mind, you have self-respect and also respect of your identity. You do not want to be like somebody. You do not want to put on something so that you look like somebody, but really respect and love yourself. Then it's easier to focus on a bigger picture. This morning, like any other morning, we are going to have a conversation, particularly the conversation of policy making. And I'll be joined by Martin Rukato Rukato. It's a member of parliament and the president of NDP. It's going to join us from the hour of 7 there, particularly when we'll be able to speak about the readiness of parliament, the focus of 2026 parliament, the lawmaking process, what are the key things that they are focusing on. And I'm also going to engage him particularly regarding the bills, because we have seen what the president has said, particularly last week when she indicated about the bills that will continue to come, and also show that she has positive, a picture, particularly to 2026 parliament, due to the fact that those bills have to be passed so that Namibian economy, Namibian people need to be advanced. And I'm also going to look at what the focus of parliament, and also how to hold other institutions accountable. You know, there is a lot of things that we speak about, especially in the political arena between the executive and the legislature, but there is no really clear line to say when it comes to judicial system, when the judge is not online, who is holding them accountable? If parliament has that power also to hold judges, magistrate, and also the entire judiciary accountable, because the issue of check and balance, nobody can be superior than the other, so that the state should remain and serve for the greater good of the people of Namibia. Before we go to the conversation for the day, let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. And there's a lot of things interesting happening in the continent of Africa. Beautiful invention, beautiful development, challenges. And one is also asking to say, when it comes to Nigeria, when is Nigeria going to see peace? Is Nigeria going to become the second DRC now? We understand that there is a tactical team, and there is also a specialized team from the U.S. that is deployed in Nigeria, especially regarding fighting of terrorism. But it seems like gunmen, they have increased now. They have continued. And northern Nigeria, especially those who are traveling to Nigeria, you must be careful. You must read news and also understand the safety precautions, particularly during this difficult time where terrorism gunmen can appear from nowhere and start spraying live bullets among the people. And bring a lot of fear. And let's see how the situation is going to be, especially if we can get the peace and security. And also asking yourself to say, where have you seen that happening? Have you seen African troops in Asia, for example? African troops in Afghanistan, for example, just to assist, maybe to say Kenyan troops just there to assist fighting terrorism? Or it's only happening when it comes to Africa. One to argue, is it reverse colonialism? One may want also to think that is there agenda before that? Because it's not the first time the external powers are involved in the security of Africans. One of the things that we need to understand is that before you have the Sahel region, before you have the alliance of Sahel region, there have been a lot of military cooperation, military agreements between France and also African countries such as Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, Africa, Central Africa, and many other countries. But the presence of this military did not stop. And the presence of the French did not stop terrorism. Although they helped with technical know-how, did not stop terrorism. And one may also be able to ask to say, is this part of a new way of doing business also? Is this part of a new way of doing business using military? Then you'll be able also to realize that after these countries become independent for the second time through a government takeover or through military taking over the leadership, one of the center of the bone of contention has always been at mineral resources. The mines, particularly the foreign mines, started swaying those governments. Look at Niger, look at Burkina Faso. There have been a lot of fights, particularly regarding the stockpile of uranium and also of other minerals. Then you are asking yourself to say, what is really happening? What is really happening? What lesson need to be learned? And also, what is the investment of African Union, particularly when it's coming to peace and security? And looking into the context of terrorism also, you can also look at DRC. Like last week, we have reported to say, when M23 have attacked an airport in DRC, they used drones and some drones were shot down. And you're asking yourself to say, who is now fighting? Who has the capability now? Because the simple definition of a terrorism, somebody who just want to disrupt, somebody who without the purpose, who just want to disrupt the work of government, and also somebody who does not have a full functioning government. But when you look at M23 in Kivu, M23 in Goma, that is a state of art. You look at the cars that they have, you look at the weapons that they have, you look at the uniform. It's not torn uniform. If you have to pick somebody who cannot differentiate between the army and the army of DRC and these guys on M23, then you put two pictures together. Who is fully motivated? Who has full uniform, who is fed, who has advanced weapon. You realize you want to say the terrorist is the other way, this one is the one who is in charge. People have night vision glasses and bulletproofs. Then you are asking yourself to say, what is happening? Who is supplying this? Is this another businessman in disguise want to take over critical minerals in the continent of Africa? Or it's just, you know, what it is. But yeah, let us look at South Africa. You know, South Africa has been making a lot of beautiful moves, especially in terms of industrialization. Apart from South Africa negotiated with China to open a free market that side of Beijing, South Africa has made very interesting news, particularly for the first time. For the first time, South Africa produced the first local vaccine to combat foot and mouth disease. And this is the game changer. This is a lesson to be learned. And this is also something that Africans must also understand, that it's not only about help coming from the outside. But if you believe in yourself and you organize yourself properly, like what Uncle Bwana likes saying, let us organize ourselves strategically so that we can solve these issues. Then you can be able to come up with incredible things what's happening in South Africa. And it's under the administration of Ramaphosa, where not only chaos, but also positive thing, even for Namibia too, because if South Africa start producing foot and mouth disease vaccine, then that is also an opportunity for us. It's indicated that when the country is faced with a worst outbreak of illness that infect cattle heads, it has produced this first locally produced vaccine that could become a major ally in fighting the disease. For South Africa livestock farmers, the past months were an ever-increasing desperate battle. Currently faced the worst outbreak foot and mouth disease in decades. They were struggling to protect their heads of cattle. And what have happened is that there is a strategy against the disease. The government now want to turn around the situation. And it is indicated that, you know, the first time in 21 years, foot and mouth disease vaccine are being produced locally. Again, according to the announcement made by the government. And the first bench...
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99, 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99, 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99, and 10 kg Bokomo fetcook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at furmanbrock.com. We care.
By the government. And the first bench contained 12,900 multi-trained doses. And the government announced other phases or multiple phase plan to regain control over the situation. And this is not only a good news for South Africa, it's also a good news for SADC, and also a good news for Namibia. And you may want to bring in the conversation about the red line too, to say when you are speaking about foot and mouth disease, when who were debating about the northern part of Namibia being contaminated or difficult to control in terms of foot and mouth disease, and people spoke about losing the European market. But now let's look at the situation. Now that the vaccine is now in South Africa, what lesson can we learn as Namibians so that we can boost our livestock trade, so that we will also not only be a country that is divided since hundreds of years ago by the red line. But when there is a vaccine at the neighbor, though, it's not only about the access to the market so that we can buy, but also the lesson that Namibians can learn, the scientists, the medical researchers. What is that they need to learn so that they will be able to produce this vaccine and can save lives? Because once lives are saved, then it's easy for us to move forward. And these are things that when our current administration speak about innovation, speak about value addition, when we speak about, you know, business unusual, let us now bring in that issue of producing our own product. Last year, the head of Namibia Research Commission indicated to say these labs that you see in Namibia, majority of them are not recognized internationally. Any universities. And when you have unrecognized lab, it's difficult for researchers external to come and collaborate with you on a project that you are working on. Even if Namibian scientists have their own ideas, due to the ranking and recognition, accreditation of these laboratories in Namibia that we have, then the diseases will be cured outside. Then vaccines will be produced outside. Who knows? I'm not saying it was proposed in Namibia. Who knows? Maybe the lead researchers or the contributors to that new vaccine, maybe are Namibians. But what is putting us down? What is putting us down is the fact that we do not prioritize the prioritized. We are not investing in research and development. Until now, the same way we are not investing in monitoring and evaluation, the same way we are not investing in collection of data. That is why we'll just be looking through the window when Mzansi, South Africa, is moving forward. You know, we do not want to say we want to compare ourselves with South Africa, but at least we must learn. How many laboratories, how many medical researchers do we have in Namibia? How many discoveries do we have? You know, if a situation gets worse, either it's foot and mouth disease or either it's other diseases that affect cattle, the same herb that my great father was using when there was no technology is still the same herb that people are using. And you're asking yourself to say, why we did not invest in research of this? People are still using Endombo to cure diseases that affect the chicken and, you know, goats and sheeps. But there is no investment in that to say, what is in this arvera? What is in this blend that we can take to the lab, dissect it, do test after testing, commercialize it, and see what we can do? Nobody got into that. Maybe people are willing to get into it. Maybe there is no funding. Maybe people are comfortable of not disrupting the market. And it's not only with the Ministry of Agriculture and cattle. It can also same applies to the Ministry of Health to say, in our good doctor, Dr. Ruvindao, and the administration of health, how many of proposals are about making Namibia sustainable in terms of medical production? Instead of fighting to say we are removing the middleman or we are putting the middleman, the conversation should be, what is a long-term strategy? Because you can't just be damage control, responding. When are we going to think strategically? When are you going to be long-term thinkers? You know, a good leader is somebody who can set a long-term plan that can be implemented even when he or she is not there. A good leader is somebody who can see the vision and identify that team to work on. Because what is interesting in Namibia, and I don't know if it's only in Namibia, when somebody has 1 year to for the term to end or to retire or to just to leave, people start thinking about themselves, forgetting why they get into the position, whether you were elected or appointed. They start thinking about the exit plan. But compared to Fortune 500 companies, 2 days before the person term come to an end, the chief operation officer or the CEO is still working 24 hours to make sure that there is a meeting of a deadlines. This person still has to work so hard, integrate a new person, orient a new person who is taking over, because there is more than, you know, just an individual. If you want to see that we have a really project to look into, look at leaders. I don't want to say when their terms are coming to an end. Look at a few days before they transit, a few days before change of power. Some they start, I do not want to say they lose their temper, but they just start reflecting. But nobody can say, I'm here to serve, as they get into say, no, I'm here to serve. I will be able to work until the last minute. 2 days to go, some are not even showing up. And if you think I'm lying, look at parliament before elections. Just look at it. Look at the National Council before elections, 1 month before election of regional local authority. Look at the content of the conversation. Then you understand that we still have to instill that long-term thing to say 20 years, whether I'm going to be 60 years or not, at least that project should be standing. Yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And this is a business, economic, trade, politics, policy discussions. And stay tuned, because today we'll be in conversation with the lawmaker, particularly from the August House National Assembly. That is the lower house. And a lot of people are so shocked to say, why National Assembly is called the lower house and National Council is the upper house? Because National Council is upper, because it's very, very closer to the people. That is where your councillors are. But the lower house is more necessary because it's the national level. But yeah, stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8 in the morning. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Just before we go to Honorable Lukato and Parliament, let us look at a graduate law researcher, Bettina Ngula, especially connecting the content, particularly looking at experience within the legal fraternity, because we are looking at the future Namibian legal research. We are looking at the future lawyers, prosecutors, advocates, and also the justice, you know, the holder of justice. And in that case, we are also going to look at the aspect to say, especially when it comes to the student of law, what happened after graduation? What are some of the fields within that context? Just Albertina Ngula, before we look at Tate Lukato Lukato. And stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, especially when we are speaking about the law. Today we are speaking with legal mind. We are speaking about the law, because it's a saying to say, one of the things that differentiate human beings from animals is that our ability to come up with our own laws and also follow them, and also protect each other, properties, lives, and everything that is within the state. And today I'll be speaking about law in general, and also what are some of the areas of laws that students should pursue, and also for a broader understanding too, because what we think about when somebody is a lawyer, when somebody is studying law, we have actually different perspective. People used to think when you are a lawyer, you are being creative about the truth, but when you get into the field, you start knowing about a lot of things that happen. But in this morning, I'm very happy and excited to be joined by Bettina Ngula, who is a legal researcher and has been in different parts of law, and he's a young professional that will also be able to assist us and also expand this conversation, especially when you're speaking about law, some of the misconceptions about the law, and also different fields too, because there may be a student listening, there may be a parent listening there, there may be somebody who want to expand the fields of study too, but being in communication with Bettina Angola, it's a very important thing. So this beautiful morning, Bettina, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mr. David. How are you?
I'm doing very well. May you please speak up a little bit?
Okay.
Now let us start with the main conversation. What is the meaning of law to you? You are a legal researcher. You have studied law. What is the meaning of law to you, and why did you choose to study law? Is it the cash? Is it the passion? Or there are other things before we go into the context?
Okay. The journey of law is not more, it's not only more than just textbooks and courtrooms.
Yeah.
It's about the shaping of justice, protecting rights,
yeah,
and building a society rooted in fairness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just study law because I want the money.
Yeah.
But I want to protect people's rights.
Yeah.
And this work in fairness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now let us look at law and law students. How is the life of a law student? Because you go to various universities, you find these young students having books that you cannot even imagine. They are reading, they are up and down, they are focused, they don't speak like the way we speak. And maybe just before somebody go to law school and study the law, how is life of a law student? What is the pressure there? What are the opportunities there? And also, what are some of the challenges that law students are also facing? Particularly, we are speaking, we are in this conversation, especially when we are at the beginning of the year, and also those who want to embark into the field, or those who are already in the field. How is the life of a law student to you, and how did you experience it?
Okay, the life of a law student. Okay, life of a law student.
Celebrate your loved ones with ShopRite this Valentine's Day with a wide range of everything you need for the perfect gift. Celebrate love and low prices with great deals like a 200-gram Ferrero Rocher chocolate for only $142.99 each. And you're all mine and I'm all yours coffee mug, 2 per pack for just $49.99. Celebrate love and low prices this Valentine's Day. Offers valid until 15 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. At ShopRite, you get nothing but the best at prices you can trust. That means having a wide range of exclusive quality brands to choose from. Find everything you need when you shop our trusted range and get 2 kg Rite brand white sugar, $39.99, and 500 grams Rite brand 40% fat bread spread for $9.99 each. Your everyday essentials from top quality brands all in one place. Offers valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Life of a law student is so much demanding.
Yeah.
There are so many books you have to read. You have to study statutes, and you have to know some cases.
Yeah.
It's just so much demanding. But the fact that you also experience internships whereby you have to gain knowledge and have knowledge in many different fields of law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only being a lawyer, there is legal researchers, there is prosecution, magistrate, litigation, there are lots of corporate law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe can you try to expand into those fields, because a lot of people are keen to know, to say, what do you mean when you speak about a corporate lawyer? What do you mean when you speak about other fields? Maybe can you expand on that?
Okay. Under litigation,
yeah,
we have the advocate,
yeah,
the magistrate,
yeah,
and the prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the in-house counsel and the compliance officers, whereby it also, yeah, then we have the government and justice,
yeah,
whereby we have the legal advisors in, yeah, ministries and state institutions.
Yeah.
We also have the international and NGO work,
mm,
whereby I worked at Ministry of National Relations and Trade.
Mm.
I worked under the legal department,
mm,
whereby we work more with international law,
mm-hmm,
between, yes, between ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And we have with the academic and research,
mm-hmm,
whereby here, that is where we find lecturers,
mm-hmm,
and policy.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have been in the area of international law. What attracted you to international law, and what are two or three things that you said you have learned in the field than what you have learned at school? What's so interesting about being in the area of international law? What is the role of a legal researcher there, or a graduate researcher there within the ministry?
Okay. Under international law,
yeah,
we're dealing more with ministries,
yeah,
drafting letters, authenticating certificates of people that are going abroad,
yeah,
and under criminal law, I've also been there,
yeah.
Criminal law, we're dealing more with CGB, issuing subpoenas, serving summons.
Hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
In attending court.
Mm-hmm. You said you worked for the Ministry of International Relations, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to get a clear picture to say some people, they are interested maybe to work in the ministry, or they are interested in other fields, but they don't really know the works that is being done there. What I want to know is that, what does a lawyer do within that ministry? What are some of the key things that are being done in that ministry, particularly regarding the law? What do you write about? What do you discuss about? And maybe that what you can be able also to share. How is the environment? Because some people, they want to do things, but they don't really know that with that qualification, with that degree, that diploma in law, that LLB, that BProc, or that Juris degree, or that Master's degree in law, you can be working in that area. How does it look like? What is your day looking like, particularly when you were working for the ministry?
When I was at the ministry, my day was always busy.
Yeah.
Not all the days that were always busy.
Yeah.
But some days, there are no incomings that you have to work on.
Yeah.
But as soon as we have incomings that you have to work on,
yeah,
it's always a busy day for us.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay, I want to know what do you do there? That is what I want to know, so that other people can also be interested to say, how is your day looking like? What is you do in the morning? What do you do after all, and all these things? Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and I'm joined by Miss Bettina Ngula, and we are speaking about the life of a law student and also some areas of expertise, and we are engaging. We are at the part of working for government, not really as a direct representative, but also working as an official within the ministry, and also to look at how the daily work of a law graduate is like. Maybe just to expand on that, how is your day looking like within a ministry, and we can also go to the work that we're doing at the court and all these things.
Okay. At the ministry,
mm-hmm,
my life was always busy, but not too busy that a lot of work.
Yeah.
There are some whereby there are no incoming.
Yeah.
And when some incoming that you have to work on, it's,
yeah,
always busy, and all hands have to be on deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at the ministry, we have to draft and prepare legal documents.
Yeah.
We transmissions to various ministries and ministries,
mm-hmm,
missions and ministries.
Mm-hmm.
We draft memorandums.
Yeah.
We draft we authenticate, certificate, document, and add administrative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Under certification, this is whereby if, let's say, a person is going abroad, they need to bring the documents for us to authenticate them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really original documents, and we are authenticated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also. Then we have the... we also deal with the commission, I mean, missions letters. We do with follow-up letters to check that, to respond to various ministries.
Mm.
We check up on them to follow up if they haven't responded yet. Then send them a follow-up letter.
Mm.
Then we do the acknowledgement of receipts, which are not verbal.
They're
not verbal, go to the embassy.
Okay, now let us look at what you have learned from school and what you also have learned in the field. What is that thing that you said you were not really learning at school, but you learned them from the field? What are the new things that you have learned when you get this opportunity to work within the ministry? Something that you thought you did not really learn at law school, but you learned in the field. What are some of those experiences that you have learned as somebody who you graduated and you have been getting that graduate opportunity?
Okay, in my own opinion, I feel like I was not really interested or into public international law at school. Whereby when I came to the ministry, I learned to love it. It's so interesting that you learn new things every day. You learn to communicate with ministries. You engage with different missions. It's really good that I didn't learn more on this because I was more focused on the criminal side of the law.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about mentorship. What is that you have enjoyed? Because you want to understand that experience of your graduate research opportunity. What are some of the things that you have learned as an intern within the ministry, and particularly in terms of mentorship? How were you accommodated working within professionals, and what you learned from them?
Okay, at the ministry, we had really good supervisors. They taught us what to do. They didn't just let us do work without any knowledge. They made sure they mentored us. They give us examples. They tell us what to do. If you don't understand anything, they're always there for us. They're always there for us. They never let us do things on our own. When you have a question, you ask, they answer you like in a polite manner. They're actually good mentors to the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Now let us move forward. Because we have spoken about fields now. What do you think are the challenges and opportunities also within the legal fraternity? Not only as a graduate researcher, not only as somebody who entered the field. In your observation, what do you think are the opportunities out there for somebody who has studied law, and what are some of the challenges?
Okay, the challenges we talk about. The challenges. There's the gender imbalance, whereby we increasingly dominate admissions and practice.
Come again.
I'm saying gender imbalance, whereby we increasingly dominate admissions and practice. Whereby there are more ladies that are in law than male.
Oh.
Racing about declining male representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Then the independence of professions, lawyers must resist political interference to uphold justice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the access to justice. We have challenges such as the rural areas, communities often lack affordable legal services.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
We come to the opportunities of whereby we have in law, especially in many different fields, whereby you find tech law, environmental law, international law, and arbitration. Then we have the global relevance, whereby Namibian lawyers can work across borders due to the HIPE system.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the women empowerment, growing female representation often offers diversity and new leadership.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have to advise somebody, let me say your cousin come to you then ask you to say, in summary, I'm interested in the Constitution. I may be a very good speaker. I love reading. I love challenges. What, at the current moment that we are in now, what is the best field that you can advise somebody who wants to study law to get into, especially in the context that we are as a country? And why do you think that is important? And just looking at that.
Okay. I'd advise someone to go into prosecution.
Mm.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be lawyers, but I advise someone to go into prosecution.
Why?
Due to the fact that people tend to believe that when you are a lawyer, you're working with guys whereby it's not always about being a liar. It's about, yes. So people feel like, no, why are you studying law? When I be a, you want to lie to people. It's not always about that. Not just to all those negativities, I tend to go for prosecution.
What does a prosecutor do?
A prosecutor does various things, such as the dealing of new appearance cases, whereby cases brought in the court. The prosecutor has to deal with the first appearance. Then the prosecutor has to serve summons to the accused. The prosecutor has to issue subpoenas to the witnesses at the incident.
Yeah, there is something that you know we have observed in the society. Why lawyers, they always look serious in the public. I don't want to say aggressive, but a bit militant. Are you taught that at school, or is something which is coming with the profession? Is there pressure there, or is just you know, the profession? Because you meet a law student, you meet a law graduate, and you know, That lawyerness have to come out. Why is it always like that? Have you also experienced that? Have you also experienced a transformation when you enter that fraternity?
Yes, I've experienced it. I feel like, is this something in law students whereby they don't taught how to be aggressive, but it's just something that is built in you after studying law. Yes.
Now, how do you balance that? Because you know, there's a difference. Let me say, I don't know.
Eshu wataloka umekwe mbelo, taveli pulanga helipi, ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad, ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefinda no talishambula, lo kushuna kofikola, mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani, wakamweko mo iPad, aveli vahetatu, ovo tabaka findanwa, ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia, oshipu nengono, lando kashako kwa KG mwe, ele KKG jilimbali kwa top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilo. Ngwashiche ndeto esemeso shicha instant totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano emangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Mills.
There's a difference. Let me say, I don't know, in the next 5 years you are going to be married by somebody, but you don't want to bring that at home. So how do you transform between the profession and you as an ordinary human being? Or something which is necessary also to balance, to say, yes, you are a prosecutor today, you are a magistrate today, but you are also a mother, or you are also somebody's husband. Do you also need to bring that into the relationship? Just something to bring about, because I want to see that the balance of transformation between you in that profession and also, you know, you as an ordinary human being.
Okay,
actually
two different types of people.
Yeah.
When you work as a prosecutor, and it is a wife or a mother, you cannot want to mix your profession and your day-to-day activities at home. You stick to being a mother or a wife at home. And it works. Yes.
Okay, but how do you do that? You just say, no, I remove my coat, now I'm a mother. Or you have to also to shift the way you think.
You shift the way you think as well, and the way you reason.
Mm-hmm. So there's a soft part of it. Yeah, maybe just last thing, something, because something that I ask, especially law graduates, something that, you know, people do not really know or misconceptions, something that people really just say about law, but it's not really true. What is the thing maybe that you want to clarify? Just one or two things that people don't really understand, because we like to give names. We like to speak about things that we do not know. You see a pastor, you think pastors are like this. You see a lawyer, you think lawyers are like this. But what is the thing that you think maybe public do not really know about either being a law student or being a lawyer, but you need to clarify just one or two?
Okay, the misconceptions about studying law.
Mm.
Many people believe that studying law is simply about memorizing statutes.
Yeah.
Well, in the truth, it is about interpretation,
yeah,
reason, and application of those statutes.
Mm-hmm.
There's another misconception is that law guarantees wealth and prestige. No. In reality, many graduates face challenges entering the profession.
Yeah.
And contrary to that, law is not limited to courtrooms. Mm-hmm. You cannot just want to see law guarantees wealth. Mm-hmm. It does not.
So you also need to work hard. It's not only about money.
Have to work hard.
Oh, so you want to tell me that they are poor lawyers?
No, it's not about poor lawyers. They are more wealthy. It depends on what you do, how you engage yourself.
Uh-huh.
Because we can both be lawyers, but we have different clients, or you have no clients at all.
Uh-huh.
So you can't just about wealth.
Uh-huh. Okay, Bettina Gura, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and thank you for that valuable information. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. And conclusion to that, the journey of law in Namibia is not without its challenges,
mm-hmm,
but it is still opportunities to shape society, protect and uphold justice for law students and practitioners alike.
Mm-hmm.
We call it clear to serve with integrity, courage, and vision. And before I finish with this, mm-hmm, I would like to mention what our Chief Justice Peter Chibute stated at the opening of the 2020 legal year.
Yeah.
At the opening on the 5th of February this year,
mm-hmm,
Chief Justice Peter S. Chibute emphasized the judiciary's independence, the need for modernization and through technology, and the importance of access to justice of all citizens. He highlighted both achievements and challenges,
mm-hmm,
urging lawyers and judges to uphold integrity and strengthen public trust in the courts. Whereby, then the key themes from Chief Justice Peter Chibute,
mm-hmm,
addressed judicial independence and integrity, whereby he mentioned, reaffirmed that the judiciary must remain free from political or external influence.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke about to modernize and technology, whereby he noted the growing role of digital case management system and electronic filing.
Mm.
And he urged the legal profession to embrace technology to improve efficiency and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And in conclusion to that, he also spoke more on the access to justice, whereby he pointed out the rural communities still struggle to access affordable legal services. I think I mentioned this before.
Mm-hmm. While we are there, continue.
Okay, he encouraged expansion of legal aid programs in community outreach, where people that cannot afford lawyers, they have to apply for legal aid. It's way more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Then the challenges, rising caseloads and limited resources remain a strain on the judiciary. The need to balance tradition and innovation itself in legal practice. Then his closing words were, of now quote, Chief Justice Peter Chibute concluded by reminding the nation that the judiciary must remain steadfast, independent, and committed to upholding the rule of law, for it is only through justice and peace can be sustained. Thank you.
All right. No, maybe just let's 2 minutes. There's something that came up in my mind, especially with the workload of magistrate and prosecutor. There was a time I went to visit a court in Windhoek, and we see a lot of cases being postponed, and there have been this thing. Maybe just if you are able to touch it, especially in the workload of magistrate and prosecutors, and also the condition. People are speaking to say, these guys are overworked, these guys have a lot of works to do, and you know, there need to be improvement, either get assistant or get better facilities, better equipment, and also to, you know, to make justice being held properly. In your observation, because you did not only work in the ministry, you also work in the court for quite some times. What is your observation? That is that true about overloading of prosecutors and magistrates, particularly at the lower courts? What is your observation on that?
It is really the workloads are a lot.
Yeah.
That you need to, and the postponement of cases, that this is, it depends on when the witnesses do not come to court.
Yeah.
This is a case that should be postponed.
Mm.
But the workload, you find so many dockets in the office, whereby they need to, some to be issued subpoena, some summons, some need to give instructions in the docket.
Mm.
There are so many, it's so much. That's why we find them with interns that are sitting in the offices, not only for the prosecutors alone, but they have assistants such as the interns.
Do you think this need to expand assistance? Do maybe you need to recruit a lot of graduate researcher or assistant, or to expand the judicial system and also assist these people, or they need a certain level of advancement in terms of technology? What do you think need to be done, especially from your observation? Because if somebody is overloaded, I in the court, I will not feel happy working with somebody who's overloaded, because there's a high degree of that person to not really pay my case proper attention. What do you think should be the solution based on that? Because we do not want what happened last year, where you have, people go to, and I know you are not part of it, maybe people go and strike due to their condition. What do you think need to be done?
Okay, what needs to be done is that they need to employ more graduates, because once a prosecutor is loaded with so much work, they tend to, not to ignore, but they are just frustrated because the workload is too much, and there is no assistance, so they tend to be frustrated, and they won't work in a manner that they are expected to work, because here in the office there's so much work to do, that cause they have to pay attention, so they won't really pay attentiveness to what is being made or what's being done in the court.
Mm-hmm.
So I employ more graduates just to assist them in the offices to deal to work with more paperwork and stuff, mm-hmm. and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, where we are at conclusion. Again, maybe the last words, especially those who are in the field of law, and also those who want to get into the field of law. What message you have to them, particularly the young people who really love law? What is your final what is your message that you have to them, especially somebody, I may want to do something, but I do not want to do the work, or maybe I do not really understand very well, or maybe I do not get enough information, just to give clarity, particularly at the beginning of the year, to say that is the field of law. Person enter the field, either it's paralegal, either it's legal studies, either it's LLB or commercial or any other aspect. What is your message that you have to them, particularly 2026?
Okay, the only message I'm going to give to students that are studying law,
yeah.
I would say you should do more research on what you really want to pursue when you're done studying.
Yeah.
Because most of them, they are pushed to do law because of being lawyers, whereby there are many career things they can do with a law degree.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot in a lot and a lot.
Mm.
Not only a personal lawyer.
Mm.
You get of things whereby you can be a lecturer, you can be a legal researcher, you can be a prosecutor, a magistrate, an advocate,
mm.
you can be a legal clerk, legal administrator. It's a lot. So just put search, don't give up, and study very hard. All the best.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. Thank you for having me.
All right, cool. Yeah, that was Albert in Angola to say it's not only about being a criminal lawyer, it's about being everything that has to do with law. And I think studying law is also opening your mind. You can cut across and you see lawyers everywhere. In the IT field, in the politics, in you know, in the research, you know, you can be a minister too. You know, people, a lot of you did not know. Minister of Information, Communication, Technology studied law. Is a lawyer by profession. But the skills that she got from the law can also allow her to shape the policies of ICT. And a lot of people who studied law, they enter business. You go to corporate, you find a lot of lawyers. At communication, you find lawyers. And you go to the bank, you find lawyers. But this is something that I think really need expansion, something that really need people to engage more on it and understand how things are being done. Because once you understand policies, you can go to international law, and more research should be done in this field. Because if you have more people who understand law, it's more easier for us to drive institutions. Because the more you understand law, the more you understand the loopholes, the more you can be able to fill those loopholes so that they cannot be utilized for the benefit of some people. So, dear listeners, we are continuing with Erimony Scoop. We are looking at law graduates. We are looking at the legal fraternity. And we are also looking at the post-law school situation and also what needs to be done moving forward. Stay tuned. 8. Yeah, we are moving forward. Then the conversation for the day. Before we go to Taterukato, let us look at shortly what the President of the Republic of Namibia has to say, particularly last week in the opening of Parliament.
Our commitment to accountability, transparency, and the fight against corruption remains strong. This is not about witch hunts, but about restoring and maintaining public trust.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
At ShopRite, you get nothing but the best prices you can trust. That means having a wide range of exclusive quality brands to choose from. Find everything you need when you shop our trusted range and get 750 mils Right Brand Sunflower Seed Oil, $29.99, and 3 kg Right Brand Macaroni for $59.99. Your everyday essentials from top quality brands all in one place. Offers valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite.
And maintaining public trust in our institution. And as your president, I'm committed to that. Over the past years, Parliament considered and tabled bills, which include the appropriation bill, which is the main budget, the Regional Council Amendment Bill, the Land Bill, the Public Enterprise Governance Amendment Bill, the Mental Health Bill, and the Appropriation Amendment Bill, which is the mid-term review. Notes were also issued for the introduction of the Accounts and Auditors Regulatory Authority Bill, the Income Tax Amendment Bill, and the Petroleum Exploration and Production Amendment Bill. Yes, it was given, and is still on the floor, and it will still come. Regrettably, of all the 9 bills, only 2 which went through, and both of them are budget related. As a government, we appreciate because the government was not shut down. However, it is really disappointing as our people deserve better. But knowing Namibians, I know that was the starting of the parliament, and I have all the confidence and the trust that as you are starting your work today, you will definitely, this eighth parliament will serve the people of Namibia better. And I'm sure you all agree. Yes, I know in parliament there are a lot of things that we can achieve. For example, some parliamentarians might be interested in scoring political points through debate. That's allowed. But it should not overpower. It should not overpower the wishes of the majority of these people who want the parliament to perform its fundamental constitutional duty of making laws which will guide and address the actual needs of our citizens. Honorable members, while we might have different political views as elected representatives, we should be united by a common goal: the prosperity and the well-being of the Namibian people. I therefore call upon all honorable members of parliament, regardless of, and to restore public confidence in this institution. Let this parliament be remembered for constructive engagement, principled leadership, and timely as well as tangible outcome that improve the quality of life of our people. Honorable.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of accountability. And we understand that Parliament have started with its work. That is the biggest house, or it's called August House, where laws are being made. And we get an opportunity to be in conversation with one of the members of Parliament. It's not only a member of Parliament, it's a headman, and it's also a leader of National Democratic Party, that is NDP. We got into conversation with a lawmaker, Martin Rukato, especially to give us a perspective of 2026, and I'm going to engage him on the work of Parliament, what they have promised that they were going to do, what they have done so far, what are some of the progress, the challenges, and also opportunities too, especially looking at 2026, and you have heard what the President have said, particularly looking at the bills, and also the work of Parliament, especially in terms of national development. Martin Rukato, the lawmaker and the guest of the show this morning, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Namibia. And it's a pleasure to be given this platform. Thank you.
Yeah. Terukato, you are not new anymore in Parliament, and you know, last year we were saying, "No, it's your first time in Parliament." Now we are including you also with all the lawmakers and everything which is happening. Maybe just to look at 2026, and how did you start with 2026 before we got to before we go to the work of Parliament, how did you start and how do you see the year as a lawmaker?
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, as I have sent by the majority people on the ticket of NDP to Parliament, they are expecting me as a lawmaker and also with me, together with my colleagues in Parliament. The very important thing is the development of Namibia. As you know, any country where there is a democracy, it needs a country which is developing. Now Namibia is a developing country, so it's not yet developed. So as a lawmaker, my contribution in the chamber 2026 is to make sure that we implement what we did last year.
Okay.
What we have started last year. Now this year is a year of implementation. So when I'm talking about implementation, where I have introduced many motions, and I introduced bills, and those motions and those bills should be implemented this year. So it's also very important that we have to work together with other MPs, both from the opposition and from the ruling party. When we are in chamber, we have to be united. We have to make sure that we work for the one single goal, that is to develop Namibia. And our duties and function is to make sure that the system currently in Namibia, the system is not accommodate or it's not benefit the masses of this country. It's for us to change it through to repeal and amend such a system.
Yes.
We have to make sure that those laws which have been affecting Namibian for the past 37 years of independence, they should be repealed, amended, some abolished. To replace it with the laws which will benefit all Namibian people, all ethnic groups equally. So that is our duty. That's the first one. Maybe want to ask something?
Now, Mr. Rogato, I want your observation when you enter Parliament. This is one of the most diversified Parliament in history of Namibia. You have we have a lot of young people there, energetic. Maybe from your observation, what is that you appreciate about the current Parliament, and also what are some of the things that you think need to be done, especially as colleagues, and also looking at the future. How is your observation at the overall Parliament, particularly in 2026? And maybe you can also touch on the readiness of your colleagues when you greet them, when you say hi to them. Are they in good spirit? Are they ready? And how is the readiness of Parliament, if I have to put it that way?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. In the Parliament, as we come from the different backgrounds, you see, our appearance, our characteristics differ. And that is a very, very important thing, because the appearance where you, let me say, if you appear in the Parliament, we see negative or positive characters. It's, that's the character where you come from. Well, that's your background. So, yeah, it cannot change.
Mm-hmm.
The same way when you appear in the parliament, the same way you, people know where you come from. So what I have observed in the parliament, let me say, when it comes to the socialism, let me say to socialize with many MPs, colleagues. So when you greet each other, no, that's fine. We greet each other and the appearance of greeting each other, love each other is a very perfect. That's it's a perfect and it's very, 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 I'm very much appreciated on that one. So now, the second thing, when it comes to the, let me say now, the presentation of whether questions, whether presentation of motions or deals. Now there is a, there comes a problem there. Those other people who are, they don't know what the reason why they are in the parliament. They behave like kids and they behave like, let me say, they are not there to respect other people's presentations. So that is a negative which I have already observed that some, not all of them, some.
I remember I was watching one of your presentation, then you pointed to one parliamentarian to say you are going to take the person out yourself. what maybe caused that? Were you disturbed or what is it? What happened?
You see, I was busy to present my presentation. Some of them, they wanted to, let me say, to disturb me. So that's why I, you see me as a leader and also chief whip in the parliament. I got a right to ask the speaker that I'm taking this MP. He must be out. If she or him has been warned three times, and then he continues, and then according to the standing rules in the parliament, a leader or a chief whip got the right to order such a member to be taken out from the parliament.
So you are a leader of your position, and you are also a chief whip in parliament.
Definitely. It means that in the parliament, the speaker, every instruction or every orders, she must contact or she must consult.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
She must contact or she must consult the chief whips, the leaders of the parties, she cannot decide for herself. So the chief whips in the parliament, they are the leaders, so they can consult also with the speaker that, no, let us do APCT, you see, in order to make our work reality in the parliament.
Now, let's go to the real work. I was observing. I was listening to the president's speech, and just a moment. Yeah, I want you to comment on the work of Parliament, because when I listen to the speech of the President, it seems like there's a bit of a conundrum, especially within the executive and also the lawmaking house. And the presentation is indicating to say there were bills, I think around 8 there, that were tabled. And what has happened is only that it's only the budget one which has been passed through. She has indicated about the PEGA Act, spoke about the mental health bill. She also spoke about oil and petroleum bill. And is this a deliberate a deliberate move from parliamentarians, is now that we need that those numbers and also to work together to pass those laws? Or why do you think there's such a bit of a challenge, particularly to passing of the bills?
Okay, thank you very much again for that question.
Yeah.
Last year, there were several, a few of the bills which were presented by the executive in the parliament.
Yeah.
Some of them were mentioned already.
Yeah.
You see, I think from my side, as a member of parliament and also representing the NDP, some of the bills I have supported those bills. Yeah, some of them, not all, but some.
Yeah.
Which I have observed that no, these bills they can
go through.
Can go through. And so not only me, and also some of MPs, my colleagues, also supported.
Yeah.
Then there are some of the bills which didn't go through. One of them is that one which you mentioned, the one recently which was mentioned by the sitting president when the parliament was reopened. That one, I got also a copy of that bill, and then I'm busy to study it, and then I'm going to present my presentation on that bill this coming week.
To give you a contribution.
Yes, I'm going to contribute it this coming week. Yeah, so it's a matter of study whether, because you see some of the DOC presented from the executives.
Yeah.
We as an opposition for a political parties in parliament.
Yeah.
We are entitled to study those bills, whether those bills will benefit the entire Namibian people. So if we see that something is lacking there, then we got the right to reject the bill to go back so that for rectification before it comes back again. So which means that you see that some of the, even those other, some of the bills which were passed, like the budget for last year. The budget of last year was passed through without any but some few errors that should be rectified, you see? So on this bill, which is there now, it needs a study, and we will continue to debate on it.
There's a question came out here. I don't know how you are going to approach it. Somebody said, I think Parliament with the budget bill, they cannot block it because that is where the finance is going to come from to fund them. What do you think? Or it was just proper budget bill that need to pass through before others?
That is real, because many, many important things that that bill, if it could delay it, and then those ministries, government institutions, they could just stand still without any function because of the lacking financial administration, the lacking to the operations of their ministries, their organs whatsoever. That's why it was speedily approved by the parliament.
In including the payment of everybody also. But I hear you. Now, I want us to, what is really the problem? Because, you know, public, we are also concerned to say with the Speaker Act. I remember there was a point where, that act has to go and studied and also to be reviewed and all these things. But a lot of acts also, before we go to the petroleum bill, how long do you think it will take? And also, do you see efforts from your colleagues too? Because us here, we are watching and we are also expecting the August House to deliver because we have also project to implement, particularly the environmental project. How do you think, how long do you think it would take to pass one bill, especially in 2026, as you indicated that this year of implementation?
Yeah, this year 2026, as I mentioned, it is true, it's a year of implementation.
Yeah,
this year 2026, I can assure the public that they have to expect that we are going to approve many deals this year, because this year is not a year of joking. It's not a year of play games in the chamber, because we are working, we are serving for the people of this country, and we are serving the country. We make sure that the development of the country, it the relying with the legislator, which is a parliament. Without the parliament to pass bills, then the development cannot go ahead, of which it's not good for all Namibians.
So you are indicating to say the delay of all those bills is not a punishment to an opposition party, because I mean to the ruling party, but it's really based on scrutiny, and that's going to be dealt with.
Definitely, that is a real, that is, that's our stand as MPs in parliament.
I want your opinion. There is oil and petroleum bill which has been presented, and when I listened to the speech of the president, she indicated that a lot of bills are still coming, and she hoped that this year they will go through. I want your opinion as a lawmaker. When you look at the new act of that is dealing with petroleum, oil, and also about the upstream, and also coming up with not really to say institution, but operation under the presidency and all this, development, particularly looking at the natural resources that we have, wealthy of natural resources that we have underground our country. What is your opinion on the bill that is a bit debated, that is brought for discussion in parliament?
Yeah. First of all, the bill in question, which it's been proposed to be under the sitting president's mandate, that is totally wrong, and it cannot be, because the president cannot be in charge of that ministry. Because if he's a sitting president, and then the institution, let me say the ministry, then he said that only that sort of that it should be under in charge. Then it is the. It cannot be, because that bill even to the one who is going to introduce, or the one who have introduced, is a minister. The minister who have introduced it, and then it should fall under that minister, not under the sitting president. It's totally, that's a violation of the constitution of Namibia.
Now, because when I was looking at it, there are also, I think, institutions being made under that bill, and you have upstream, you have director general. What do you think? Do you think the whole bill is wrong, or there are some contribution that you need to do? We are seeing reports that, we need a framework, and oil will be maybe coming out, or the starting of production maybe will start by before 2030, or maybe by 2030. What do you think is the best approach in dealing with resources such as oil and gas in that regard, apart from opposition of that bill, which is a bit brought a lot of eyebrows, especially when it was presented? What do you think should be done?
I think what I have seen and observed, it needs first to research. It should be research, and it should be surveyor that where a plan and resources and whatever is because that is not a small thing, it's a big thing. So when we talk about that, it's a country's, it's a protection of a country, the protection of the security of this country. And then it is a lot of things which involved there. Then it cannot be rushed. And also, it will also need a huge budget for it. Yes, in particular, because it's not you see, those other countries where they have achieved or they have implemented that such, in those countries which are already developed. So if Namibia is a still developing country and they come up with such, it's not within 24 hours. It cannot be. It will take place. It will take time.
So you are saying we do not need to rush. We need the time.
It need time, because even now it will go back to the researcher who has done that. And it need more research on that. Before it come back, because we as the MPs, we are going to, after the debate, we are going to refer it back again to the researcher to make sure that when it come back, and then it come back with values, it come back with all the things which is, it should be done. Including the budget. So it, no, it's not a play game, that one.
You say this it's not a play game. I like that what you have mentioned. Now, let us look at alternative, because we are watching, everybody is watching, and they want to know. Okay, there is a presentation from the executive. This is the bill. This is how to deal with our resources. This is the reasoning. This is the debate. We speak about transparency. We speak about not repeating the other mistakes. Then not only opposition. Then there is counter argument. Now, apart from going back to research, is there an alternative of how to handle, resources such as oil and gas, or just to keep them within the Ministry of Mines, Industries and Energy? Is there an alternative, particularly from those who are opposing that bill?
Okay, thank you very much. The way forward is more engagement should be carried out. Yeah, so the both from opposition and from executive should engage each other.
Mm-hmm.
After engaged with the lawmakers in the parliament,
yeah,
it should also go out for public hearing. Engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because the Namibian people, they should accept such, such a bill to be implemented in Namibia. Because they don't want to come up with things with a bombshell. Mm-hmm. They never knew what happened, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So they need also to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
To be consulted,
mm-hmm,
so that when it comes out from the public, back again to the public, to the parliament,
mm-hmm,
and then we debate it again. We see we have to make sure that what is a reality on this bill.
Mm-hmm.
There's any error,
mm-hmm,
there's to rectify it. And there is any whatever, because we don't want the bill to let me say, at the end of the day, Namibian people they become suffer again as a result of that bill.
Okay, yes, Dr. Rukato, let us look at let's go beyond beyond the debate and beyond lawmaking, because parliament has a greater role, other works also, and people don't really see, they only thought parliament is only about debating and making laws, but there are other roles such as oversight of institution of the state, the committees and all these things, and also international they call it parliamentary diplomacy with relation to either SANDEC, parliamentary forum and international parliamentary forum or PAP. Now, looking at 2026, is there any program regarding to extension of the work of parliament beyond the lawmaking, if I make my questions clear?
Yeah, thank you very much. For the sake of that's a question so important.
Yeah.
Our duties as MPs in parliament,
mm-hmm,
those including benchmarking in Namibia and international.
Mm-hmm.
What it means in foreign countries, we are entitled to make benchmarking, to make sure that what are those development countries, those developed countries have done so far.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that it's a learning from other countries which were already developed.
Mm-hmm.
In each of whatever we do in parliament,
mm-hmm,
we have a standing, we are in different standing committees.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to those including international and international relations,
mm-hmm,
and all and other committees.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we make benchmarking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's our duty.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe because this question I don't think is for you, but it's also related to parliament, because we see, because when you observe, you are, is it 104 or how many before those who are appointed, but let's look at the main conversation to see what about your colleagues who do not say any word. What do they do? Because I know you as a leader of opposition in parliament, and you are chief whip of your party, you are a bit free because you are the head. And what about others? We see some MPs, some of your colleagues, they do not even speak, they don't say a word. Is there any process being done on who to speak, who to say, maybe just to let the public know? Because we see some are just quiet, and there are only few who can debate. Is there any process being done, or is there any I don't want to say orientation, is there any internal decorum that is being followed by parliamentarians before they speak, or all this, or can I just stand up and give my points?
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm.
The current laws within the Parliament of Namibia allows all MPs, members, to participate in every issues, every laws, every participation. And it only that certain other laws where there is a let me say laws or there is a presentations which need the only political representations. So yeah, so you that time those political parties representing in the parliament, they will be given first priority. Then after, then the rest they can participate.
But there are some who never even say a word. I'm trying to look at them and say, apart from the speech of how do they call it, the maiden speech. After that, they don't say any word. But do they speak outside or they are working within committees?
So that question, I think what's happening that you say any member of parliament got right to speak, and those who cannot speak in the parliament, they are also got their democratic right not to say anything.
Okay, no, that is so diplomatic. Okay, maybe just final words, especially we are in 2026 and we are expecting a lot from you, not only you, Esther Terukato, but all the parliamentarians, especially addressing the issues that are affecting us. Now, if I have to give you an option to accelerate few things or to change few things, it's just for the sake of views, your views, to say, if I have to give you power to change few things in parliament, particularly to do its work, what are those two things that you are going to change?
Okay. First of all, currently, the system of Namibia currently in parliament, it needs to be repealed and amended, because currently now, the system where first of all, let me say that in Namibia we have three state organs, those including the parliament, the executive, and the judicial. So now, separation of powers by these three organs, they are not working independently. Because you see, the executive, they become also legislators, members of parliament. So the judicial also appointed by the sitting president, so which is not, it's not independent. So the interference of the lawmakers in parliament by executive is so high. So it needs both to amend the constitution of Namibia, to amend the constitution of the parliament, so that these three organs should be separated. Me myself, I don't want to hide it. I want that these three organs, like especially the judicial and the parliament legislator, should be independent. So the executive should be should not let me say executive should be not part and parcel of the legislators. That's a problem in the current system.
Continue.
Yes. So for me, I have been advocate this for the past 21 years, even before I become a member of parliament. Apart from, the lawmakers, if they are lawmakers, they must not be that. At the same time, you are a member of executive. And then it's a problem there. Yeah, so we cannot pass, regulate laws and pass laws which the majority of this country will benefit because of the influence from the executive. But let me first commend the sitting president, Dr. Nandi Ndaitwa, on her SONA address last year. Yeah, she stated that if there is any laws which have been affecting Namibia for the past decade, we, the lawmakers, we have to make sure that we change it, we amend it, we repeal it, we abolish it, and replace it with the laws which will benefit Namibian people. Yes, that one I salute it. So now the problem now, his executive, her executive members, they are in parliament. They will interfere with us when we say, let us change these laws. That's a problem.
Now, just before we go to the last question, you know, when somebody watching parliament to say, why only the civilized battle between the legislature and the executive? Does parliament really has a formula of holding the judiciary accountable? Because when you look, for example, in South Africa, they can summon anybody. Because of their different laws, they interview public prosecutor. They interview, I think, head of, I think it's in, Inspector of Intelligence and many other things. They have these committees which are active. They summon CEO leaders and all these things. But I want just your view regarding a legislature being the parliament of representing the people of Namibia and holding judiciary accountable. Why can't we touch a little bit of here at the judiciary? Why do we don't, or they said a different formula of holding them accountable?
Yeah. Thank you very much for that question.
Yeah.
For the public to know that first of all, in the parliament, of eight parliament, today, we have several committees. And several committees, including the Public Accounts Committee, where the only committee chaired by the opposition member of parliament, the only committee. The rest of these committees have been captured by the members from the ruling party.
Why are you saying I have been captured?
The reason why I say that they have been captured because those are chairpersons of those committees. Those all committees in parliament that have been chaired by the ruling party members of parliament. Yes, that's why I'm saying that they've been captured.
Okay, continue.
Yes, and then, so coming to your question, that why not the committees
holding
Simon,
held the
government accountable,
particularly the judicial system.
Judicial. We are entitled as members of parliament and the committee to make sure that the judicial, we can summon judicial, so that they can hold accountable. So now, the problem there which I see, because as I mentioned, those committees have been chaired by the ruling party. And the judicial, as I already mentioned, it's been appointed by the sitting president. So the powers vested on us as members of parliament, as committees,
The powers vested on us in reality is on action is not there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power, yes, because the power is too on the mandate of the executive, because and also on the ruling party government, because in other countries, you won't get the chairperson of the committee of the parliament to from the let me say from the ruling party.
Mm-hmm.
They should come from the opposition, because opposition, our mandate is to make sure that we held the government accountable. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, compared to our system.
Yes, just lastly. It's 2026. There's a lot of things expected. Maybe just to any Namibian out there, because you find really people who are interested in lawmaking. They're interested in the works of parliament, and just to any Namibians there, let me say, is a poor person there who want the assistance, not money, but want something to be addressed in parliament by anybody. And what is your message to them? Especially, I want to phrase this question in the context of gaining public trust in lawmaking. What are they expecting in 2026? And regarding how do they get contact with Parliament? Because a lot of people, they are saying, we elected them, they are going to debate there, but we wait after 5 years so that we can elect them again.
Okay. To the Namibian people, wherever you are, you are entitled to approach any member of parliament or any political party in the parliament for any assistance when it regarding which issues affecting the public on the ground, because the members of parliament have been voted by you, the public. So we, as the members of parliament, we are servants of the public to serve everybody, to listen to the issue and take it to the parliament for resolution. And after, we give a feedback to the public that this issue, we have to resolve it, or we have resolved it in such a way. So feedback is needed to the public. Any issue affecting the public is our duties as a servant of the people, because we are at the parliament not as leaders of this country, but servants of the people, to save the people. So the people on the ground, those are our bosses. Mm-hmm. What I can say is, yes, because they elect people for any assignment, like from councillors, regional councillors, members of parliament, and members of executive, and even sitting president. People who are those are voted by the public, by the people on the ground. So that's our duties, that's our mandate, to make sure that we serve the people in the reality. Well, this is next 5 years, we have to make sure that we change the system. We make sure that the operation of the parliament, the eighth parliament, is differs from the previous parliament. That's our ambition.
Yeah, yes, let's hope that we'll come to the real conclusion. And Mr. Rukato, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you for your time, and also making sure that you always pick up the phone when I call. But good luck, and let's see. We are watching, and also hold you accountable in case things are not going online. But thank you very much for your input and time.
Okay, let me thank you very much for this platform. Myself, I'm 24 hours on duties, and And then I am very much appreciated for the any media to approach me, whether it's midnight. And let me say, may God bless Namibia, Africa, continent, and the world at large. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, you have listened to yourself. That is Martin Rukato Rukato, members of parliament. And we have got a conversation, especially looking at the bills. And it's always very important to get the voice of, not really to say the minority party, but also the voice of, you know, a second fourth. Apart from the main debaters in parliament, say the ruling and main opposition, but getting that content we have had, to say members of parliament, he indicated to say they are going to transform parliament. Let's watch and see. And also to say it's our duty to make sure that when they go out of line, we ask them question. We are also going to call him after the years of parliament to say, is this really what you have said you were going to do? Did you do it? Looking at the bills, he indicated to say the petroleum bills is not going through, need to be scrutinized, need to be analyzed. That is the position, and there is no agency. And we see how things are going to go through. That is the democracy. It's a civilized war. It's a civilized men and women in, you know, August House debating, but also at the center of, you know, national development, because it's through lawmaking, that a better law can be able to serve the people. And let us hope that 2026 is not going to be like any other year. And also to see that, that's what the president has said, to say, yes, it's acquired to score political points, but saving the people should be also prioritized. And it's interesting to see. And what is also necessary is that parliament to be fashionable, parliament to be attractive and encourage everybody to go and see. When you look at the UK parliament, Westminster's parliament, when you look at the parliament of, you know, South Africa, look at Botswana, look at Uganda and Kenya, you will not only laugh, but you also understand. Apart from humor, there is also content and conversation. There is a parliament that you cannot sleep. But let's see how things are going to go, particularly during this year, 2026, and also engage more. Because remember, as it has been indicated to say, if you go to the history and you study parliament, particularly the Westminster, one of the oldest parliament, you look at UK, British parliament is the most interesting parliament, because they realize to say, nay, this country is developing, but we cannot have only one, the monarch who is leading us, and they've been leading us for the whole time. Although we are maintaining the monarch, let's have council. And it's called House of Commons, where they come there and they debate, because a decision should be made through the agreement of the majority of the people that elected them. Then there was a lot of wars. Parliament this side, the monarch this side, the Pope this side, until to the point where there was a king called King Charles who was executed. A lot of bloodshed. But that is the name of democracy and maintaining of institution. And to look at where we are now. But the question that we are asking, do we understand that system very well? How can we use the only system that we have to transform our people? Now, after 36 years, you know, 1990 we got independence, constituency, assembly, parliament, and the country is in our hands. But the system itself is continue also to be very difficult to be used. When you are outside, people are saying, no, the system, the system. Now, you are the system. What have been done for the past months of 8th Parliament? What will happen maybe moving into the future? What is the level of debate? What is the content and context? Are we still in the text? Are we still operating in the text to say you did not follow this law, or you have followed this law, or we are really looking at, you know, the main conversation. Because if you are saying, if we are busy saying you did not follow this law, you did not follow this law, instead of understanding the law first, then look at the content of the conversation, then it will take Namibians more time, especially looking into that context. And the other thing that people do not also see, or what the majority of us do not also see, is that the work of parliament is not limited only to debating. There are committees that can go to any region, that can summon anybody. What is interesting is that the parliament can summon anybody in this country. Summon anybody to go and appear before parliament. And you cannot deny. There are also certain ways of how to deal with if the judiciary is not operating. Let me just, for example, the PG or the Director General of ACC or anybody is not behaving. The parliament has the right to write and communicate to say, through this committee, we are calling you. Let's discuss. Chief, madam, what is the situation here? How can we address the situation? Look at other, and that is the most interesting thing, and it's the most powerful thing actually, to be part of a certain committee. Because sometimes, you see, we spoke more on SOEs and all these things to say, you find a parliamentarian saying, no, these SOEs are doing this, and the management of SOEs, they are not in order. But forgetting that, there is a certain committee within parliament that are dealing with SOEs. You can call them, to account and answer on that. I remember when Stata Chokrotea was part of one of the parliamentary committees, and when he was addressing these people, and a lot of people started asking, are you not the member of are you not a member for our party? Why are you so hard on people? But he said, no, this is, I'm holding these people accountable, because I'm here representing the people. And when you look at the way he was a bit, you say, a bit harsh, like these people do not know them. But if a person is saying, bring me the data, bring me the statement, why are you contradicting yourself? That was what was supposed to happen. And it's not about you knowing a person, it's about you calling a person to account, particularly public institutions, because a lot of money being spent in public institutions. We already do not have a lot of money. But a lot of money being spent in public institutions, and also to make sure that these public institutions deliver on the deliverables, particularly delivering on what the people of Namibia need. And if that of which Namibians people need is handled, then it will be easy to cruise through. It will be easy to cruise through, because if not, then there is a long way to go. Apart from that, there is external relations or parliamentary diplomacy, where parliament has to go to deploy people to parliamentary, SADC parliamentary forum, Pan-African parliament, where they go and learn the best practice. What is the position of parliament? What is the position of Namibian parliament in SADC region, in Southern Caucasus? And PAP of 2020, where it was interesting to see Southern African lawmakers uniting for the common purpose, where you see, I've seen, is it Memeka Singo? I've seen Malema, Venani, and who? There's one lady from Zimbabwe, particularly that time of parliamentary rotation of the head of the president of Pan-African Parliament, where you see Southern African caucus holding other areas of Pan-African Parliament together in the real debate. And imagine if that level of debate that united the people could be brought to the context of the country, then things will be accelerated. And one thing that is very clear is that I agree with the president. I'm not agreeing with all the bills or everything that is being tabled up there, because I did not look at them. But I agree with the president to say, yes, sometimes scoring a political point is part of the politics of parliament. To say you have to shine because you also have to be voted at some point. You also need to be seen doing something. But the politics of scoring political points is not development. It's allowed. She said, yes, it's allowed. But why should you block what can benefit everybody? Because this is a thing that we see. If you really have a good reason and it's being presented, yes, we understand. But if you have to be critical enough to say, why all the bills that have to do with the budget they have to go through, is really because we're well-crafted, but all other bills have to be scrutinized. But you also need to understand one thing. Once you did not pass the budget bill, no one is going to be paid. Even parliamentarians are not going to be paid. That is common. It's common sense. But you really want to tell me that all of them, they have to go with just few amendments, but all others, they are the one with having a problem. I think some should have gone through, if not all of them. Let's see what strategy is going to be brought about. And it's also important because it's also a role of the ruling party in the parliament to find a strategy of passing its bills. Because if you don't have numbers, you must have a strategy on dealing with that. I'm not saying it's only the ruling party which should come up with a strategy. You must come up with a strategy of getting numbers or a strategy of convincing other members. Either superior logic in terms of tabling the debate. Either being cautious and prudent enough in presenting your data. Because if you can outperform a person on the ground that the person cannot reason, why should he block or she block the bills that you are presenting? If you have enough data and the people can see the level of debate that you're bringing about, why should somebody can block? There is no way. Because outperforming a person in terms of a debate, not really for you being good at rhetoric and good at the Queen's English, but having concrete evidence to say, this is mental health bill, this is PEGA Act, this is Petroleum Act, this is our point, what are you saying, what is your contribution? If you don't want it to be under the presidency, what is your alternative? And if that is the alternative, how can we meet each other? Because the head of political parties have also to agree and disagree. There is also an area of compromise that you have to see, because the country have to move forward. Because if not, we have shut down like what have happened in America. Paralysis of the institutions. Because if you start with bills, who knows if it can also go to the budget. But I think we are a small country to be stuck on that. It's our hope that scrutinizing should not be a strategy, and also to see that one day we get where we want to get into. Because remember, if reports are saying before 2030 we will see the production of oil and the gas, then we are coming back to you, or the bills is still being drafted to be like some of the things that you see. And I'm not saying it's Namibian police, but it's seen around the world to say, no, we are still investigating. We are coming back to you. While the investigations are continuing. But sometimes investigations are continuing, it means there is not going to be a solution. But let us hope, especially that way, we must manage it properly. And, it must be handled with care. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. Thank you for taking your time and also contribute to the conversation. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. Bye-bye. See you around. And, sharp. Remember, Valentine is coming. Valentine is coming. Let us not stop loving. Let us celebrate love. no matter the situation, people must be loved. But also, as we always advise to say, in the situation that you find yourself disappointed, this is not only the time that, you know, you see a partner being posted by 7 people. It's not the time of chaos where you see 20 people are showing up at work with different flowers with the same name. And it's also a time of fight. It's an unfortunate. But, you know, we must also be cautious. And also, maybe if this Valentine, you did not learn a lesson, if you did not celebrate with that of your love, at least learn a lesson about love that you should not repeat again. Because some will cry, some will celebrate, some will become. But also to say, let us not limit love just for the sake of love partners or intimate partners, but the love of everybody. You may love your country, you may love your continent, you may love your community, you may love your work, and you know, just show love, and you know, let's go in. And bye-bye. See you around. The Big Mac.